Hi everyone, this is Diva from Bloodhunter and you're listening to the Metal Pit Podcast.
Welcome to the Metal Pit Podcast, the ultimate dive into the albums, bands, and stories that made metal what it is today. I'm your host, Blake, and we'll explore the sounds, the legends, and the anthems that keep the metal flame burning. Don't forget to visit our website, www.themetalpit.org, and you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at The Metal Pit. And for the podcast, we have a website for the podcast, which is themetalpitpodcast.com, and you can follow that on Facebook and Instagram at The Metal Pit Podcast. And you can visit our YouTube channel, which is at The Metal Pit 666. And if you have any comments, album suggestions, you want to be a guest, email me podcast@themetalpit.org. And my guest today comes from the United Kingdom, and her name is Scarlett. Hi, Scarlett. How are you today?
Hi, everyone. Yeah, I'm really excited to be on this today. I'm Scarlett, massively into metal, from England. Which I guess explains the accent. I'm really excited to talk about, well, my favorite thing in the world, which is metal music.
And how did you get into heavy metal music? Like, maybe what band or what person maybe suggested it to you?
It's a really funny story, actually. So when I was younger, we had a neighbor and he would constantly play Metallica for hours on end, very late into the night. And I kept waking up and thinking, what is that song? And it got stuck in my head. It was One by Metallica. Mm-hmm. And I noticed it because the drums, very loud. It didn't help me sleep, but, you know, it got me into it. And then ever since then, really, it got into Slipknot. And then I went into a bit of black dark metal, very like heavy. And wasn't particularly into it, but I've listened to everything. I'm quite happy to talk about literally all metal genres, but I definitely say I'm more of the classic kind of metal girl.
And so you've mentioned a couple bands, but what are some of your favorite bands?
So at the minute, I've got a Pantera top on, massively into Pantera. I saw them live for the first time this year at Download Festival. That was amazing. Metallica, seen them twice, absolutely amazing band. But there is a band actually that I hear not a lot of people talk about. It's called Draconian. It's like doom metal kind of stuff. I like the melodic, you know, the melodic parts and then the screamy, growly parts, just a bit of both. I'd probably say they're my probably top three at the moment. Yeah.
Okay. And I noticed from your Instagram or whatever, you go to many festivals and concerts. Is there any what's your favorite festival that you've been to? Maybe
I'd say probably at the moment it's Bloodstock. Here in the UK, we kind of have a fight for the two best metal festivals. We have Download Festival and we have Bloodstock, which are the big ones. Mm-hmm. Bloodstock's particularly heavier. Download's tended to go more mainstream over the past year, couple years. So Bloodstock's taking my heart at the moment, but Download, I think we've got a chance for it to come back at some point, maybe into the more heavier stuff.
And have you been to any other festivals in Europe or just sticking to...
No, I haven't. I'd always love to. But with getting there, finding a place to stay and then traveling, because I'm absolutely useless in other countries. So I would get lost and end up just not knowing where I was. So I'd love to go to Hellfest at some point, actually. I've seen a few lineups for Hellfest that I thought were really good.
Mm-hmm. And where is Hellfest? Remind me.
I believe Hellfest is in Spain. But I could be wrong. It is a European festival, but yes. I could be wrong.
There's so many, and like, because I'm in Canada and we don't get many.
Festivals. It's normally, I know, I saw there was a really good one in Las Vegas. They've just cancelled. Mm-hmm. I think it was Sick New World. I really wanted to go to that. But I think they've cancelled it.
Yeah, they don't have very many big ones. They have some smaller ones. They used to in the 80s, like they had the S Festival, like in the 80s in California, which Motley Crue was one of the bands that was there that we're going to talk about today, actually. But before we get, because I know when I asked you what you wanted to do, I said, unfortunately, we've already did all the good Metallica albums and Iron Maiden albums and whatever, Judas Priest. But, and we could have did a Pantera album, like I said, but then I thought, Shout Out the Devil by Motley Crue, because I've seen you like Motley Crue too. So I thought we would do, because we've already did a podcast on their first album, Too Fast for Love. But so now we're going to do Shout Out the Devil. Now, when did you, so we'll talk about them for a second. When did you first hear Motley Crue? If you, because I know you're a lot younger than me, so things are different for when you first heard bands.
Motley Crue, I think Motley Crue is just always, it's one of them bands that's always there. I feel like you what everyone knows about Motley Crue in some way, whether it's because of how they dress, whether it's because of Tommy Lee, who's very out there. It's everyone knows about them somehow. I think I liked them, oh, it's been a few years now, but when The Dirt came out on Netflix, I remember that brought a lot of attention back to Motley Crue, and that's when I started to really like dive back into it. I mean, I knew like Dr. Feelgood, ones like that, but I think I really fell in love with, I think it was like what was it? Which one was it? It was Kickstart My Heart, when it went through, his battles with like drug addiction and all the trouble and the problems the band faced. I think I started to like learn more about, because you just think it's like rock and roll, like just all the mischief they got up to, but then you start to actually listen and you see deeper into it. So I think probably around the time that movie came out, I mean, it's a great movie.
I don't know. I don't think I've seen it. I've seen some documentary on Motley Crue, but I don't think it was that. But I think it was actors playing them, and that wasn't
Yes,
their
it was. Yeah.
band, right?
No. I think they had very hot tape. They had a Machine Gun Kelly, I believe, in The Dirt. And that was, for a lot of people, they were like, oh, maybe not, he's not proper, and to be honest, I'm not a big fan. But I think it brought him more mainstream, so more people can enjoy it and get into it, which I guess is always good, because we're kind of shoved into the corner, our music a bit.
Now for me, I'm older, like I said, and so I first heard Motley Crue on their first album. So like I started at the start, but I really only like the first two albums, like the first one and Shadow of the Devil, which we're going to talk about, and then there's other songs that I liked, like Kickstart My Heart, which you mentioned. But I just never, I think I got into heavier stuff like Pantera and thrash metal and stuff like that. So I kind of got away from listening to hair metal or glam metal or whatever you want to call it. I really didn't, I mean, I did listen to Girls, Girls, Girls album and Dr. Feelgood a little bit, but I think beyond that, I probably kind of stopped listening to them. But of course, obviously I know who they are, and I was big listening to them when they started out because I was just a teenager still, way back then.
Girls, 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 it was a good album. I mean, I think like on like like the songs on it that were the most popular, I think it was Wild Side. I think that was on that one. But Shout at the Devil, I mean, you've got Looks That Kill, what a song. I mean, there's some, I think they when I listen to Motley Crue, I just think like this is, it's like a lifestyle really that they put through their songs, like this is how we live kind of thing. And it's very very rock star. I think it is very embodies the rock star kind of thing, instead of where I think some other bands can just kind of go off on a tangent, make songs about maybe different subjects, but I feel like this is just all one subject and it's the rock star life. Yeah.
I read a bunch of things about, all the bad stuff. They were kicked
Oh, Ozzy
off too.
Osbourne getting involved and all those stories.
Kiss kicked them off a tour, like because they were bad. They didn't like the way they acted.
Have you
And
seen them live? Have you seen them live recently?
I haven't. No, I've never seen them live, actually. Have you seen them live?
I saw them live with Def Leppard, I believe, it was last year.
And was.
The vocals at the moment are not, yeah, it's not I think they actually turned the mix up, so the guitars and the drums were actually higher than his voice, so they were louder. So I can remember thinking, I can't hear these. I could not hear him. But then Tommy Lee got up and said like, oh, flashy boobs or whatever to everyone, and then everyone just ignored it and basically just moved on. But yeah, they actually supported Def Leppard, so they played before Def Leppard. It was supposed to be like a co like headlining thing, but it kind of just felt that Def Leppard were there and they were the big kind of. But it's a shame really, because I think in the prime, gosh,
Yeah.
that were definitely more, I mean, you could say more popular than Def Leppard, depending on where you're from. I mean, UK, we're Def Leppard, but you know, I guess in America, it was more probably Motley Crue.
Probably, yes. But I mean, I know Def Leppard, but they could, I was the same way with Def Leppard. I listened to them early on, but then they got into too many trying to make get hits, right? Like that's what they were trying to do, is
Yeah,
and that
definitely,
kind of
yeah.
got away from me. But oh, with John Five, the guitarist, when you saw them, right?
Yes,
Yes,
yes.
because Mick Mars is already
Yeah.
gone, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, so here I'll just give a little bio on Motley Crue in case anybody doesn't know. Formed in California in 1981 by bassist Nikki Sixx, drummer Tommy Lee, guitarist Mick Mars, and vocalist Vince Neil came a little later. And I was reading through some of the stuff I was reading that they tried, I think it was after Shout at the Devil, even maybe. They wanted to kick Mick Mars out of the band because he was a little older than the other guys and they didn't think fit in or something like that, but they never went through with it or whatever, so he stayed. Let's see here, where's my okay, see, they're of course, as we kind of already brought up, known for their hard partying lifestyle, as you've probably seen in that movie Dirt. Their high energy performances, of course. Tommy Lee always had something special going on with the drums, at least in their heyday when they had more money, probably. Because they probably are getting low on money now, even though they made so much money. But you know, they got rid of they whatever sniffed it or drank it or whatever they might have did with it. Let's see, in 83 they released this album, Shout at the Devil, and it was like the first. I found the first two albums are probably their heaviest albums, I guess. Like Kickstart My Heart was a heavy song, but they're kind of more raw and heavier back on the first two albums before they started getting in. Because there's one ballad on this song, on this album, I mean, sorry.
Home Sweet Home is probably the only song that I've heard that's slow that I can listen to. I feel the others, they're not great at slow. I don't really think it wasn't like a catch to it. It was more just like just slow.
Yes.
It's a good one, but like as you'll see in my ranking, it doesn't quite match up. But
I
yeah,
like
no, it started off heavier. Yeah, no, I
yeah,
agree.
I probably I like Home Sweet Home just because it appears in the movie Hot Tub Time Machine or whatever, right? You seen
What a
that movie?
movie.
The
Yeah, no, I've seen that
guy's
one.
singing it or whatever, like he's Motley Crue or whatever. But anyway, so let's well, I can say Shout at the Devil peaked at number 17 on the Billboard 200. It eventually, I guess, has gone 4 times platinum. And it's probably, I don't know, it's Dr. Feelgood is their best selling album, I believe. But this is the one that kind of catapulted them into the fame. Even though I like the first album better than this one, but they're both pretty good and whatever. So we're going to get into it and we're going to do track by track. If you have a lot to say or a little to say, that's fine. So the first we'll start with, of course, it has the In the Beginning intro, which leads into Shout at the Devil. So how do you like the intro? And Shout at the Devil as the album starts.
This is probably very weird to some people, but when an intro comes on, I'm not really too bothered, and the outros as well. It's more just a bit of noise that gets me excited for the song, but I don't really have much to say on the intro. Shout at the Devil. I think when you know the whole there was the whole Satanic Panic, weren't there? And then they bring in oh, Shout at the Devil. Let's bring a bit of that into it. I like the song. I don't think it's the best. I think it's quite repetitive, but it gets you going. It's one of them songs they play. Everyone can get along. Like everyone can get along with it. Everyone can repeat what Shout at the Devil. It's a good song for them to play, and I love it. Like live, I've seen videos of it live. It's good. It's a good song, but nothing of really note. Like I wouldn't say best song, but it's good. It can get you going. It's a bit of a hype song, but nothing else to say about that one.
Yes, and I always like, again, I was around at the start, so I heard the first album and then I got Shout at the Devil. And of course, before that, I had the Number of the Beast with Ted, the spoken word intro on the Number of the Beast album by Iron Maiden, or at least leading into the Number of the Beast song, that is. And so I think they probably got that idea from this about the spoken word thing. And so it kind of, and since I grew up on vinyl, I always, if I'm mixing songs on my phone, like on Spotify, it Shout of the Devil, I need the In the Beginning thing first because it seems to go together just because I listened to it so much back then on vinyl.
People listen to music in two types of ways. I found that is if you play the whole album or you pick a few bits out of it and decide they're your favorites, and then you miss some songs that you might like, but you don't even realize they're there.
But yeah, there's nothing special about the song. I mean, it's a good crowd one, like you say, for people to sing in the crowd, Shout at the Devil. And I do remember, I actually watched a documentary on hair metal the other day, a few different episodes, and they were talking about the controversy with this. And then I did a podcast about the group Deicide. I don't know if you know, but they're death
Yes,
metal. Death
yeah.
metal. And I'm thinking it's so funny to hear the controversy that Motley Crue had just because they had a song called Shout at the Devil, while groups like
Yeah.
Deicide also had
I mean,
controversy, but I mean they really deserved it more than I think Motley Crue did.
it's the same, really. I think every band like that was slightly rock or metal and they start talking about the devil, it's like, oh no, you can't do that. No, that's not allowed. But then if you look over to like Norway or someplace, and then it's incomparable. It's very silly, but people hang on to everything, don't they?
Yes, and like I remember seeing an interview, and they said it's not shout at, or it's not shout with the devil, it's shout at the devil. I think that was Nikki or Tommy saying that because they're trying to defend it. But it's part of making money too, right? Or making, getting the word out, and controversy helps, of course. So why not?
Any pub, well, like they say, all publicity is, it's good publicity. They just want to get someone, get a bit of attention, get a bit of an argument going. People will listen to it and think, well, I interpreted it in that way. And then yeah, I mean, it probably, even calling an album that is definitely a bit of a reach to get some publicity.
Yeah, yes. And because the first album was like some of the songs are a little bit maybe cheesy, if you want to say it, like Merry Go Round. Not that I don't like the song, but the title, Merry Go Round or whatever. And there wasn't anything hard hitting necessarily in it. So I think they thought they need to do something else to make get the name going, and that's helped. So you can't, it obviously helped them to have it. And it was good for the kids that were into the Satan stuff back then, even though they weren't really. It was Motley
Yeah.
Crue, like, whatever. Okay, then we go to Looks That Kill. So, what do you think of this one?
Oh, what a song. What a song. I think the riff in that, I think it is catchy. It's catchy. I think it was catchy. It had the kind of womanizer aspect of the band. It got that in. It appealed to the ladies. I mean, I bet the men felt, oh. This might, because I don't know how to put it. It's very, like a the kind of embrace like this the sexual side of the band. I think it's definitely kind of catering to both kind of listeners there. Maybe try to get some of the women in as well. Like, you're amazing, come to our shows. I think that is probably something. It's a good, I like it. I think it's great. I listen to it when I'm getting to it. When I'm getting ready.
And of course, you have the Looks That Kill, of course, right? But yeah, so there was a music video, which I'm sure you've seen too, and I was reading about that, and they made the video over an 18-hour day, and the model name was Wendy Berry, who was like, I think, because I didn't watch the video to refresh my memory. I remember there being fires going, and I think she was chained up or something like this, or had chains around her, but she was like the warrior princess in the video. But she said the band was very nice to her and everything, and they were down to earth and fun. They weren't as bad as everybody said they were, but maybe they just weren't as bad that day. Maybe they were
Maybe not.
tired.
Maybe they're all the best behavior.
Because she also appeared on, she appeared with Nikki Sixx and Tommy Lee in the Rat video, Back for More. I'll have to go back and watch that too. I didn't even realize that the two guys from Motley Crue were in that video. But I guess they were. But I played guitar when I was younger. I tried to play the guitar, and Looks That Kill was one of the ones I tried to learn the riff to. I
The
just,
riff is good. It's
yeah.
catchy. It is a good song, yeah.
Okay, then we get to the song Bastard. And what do you think of this?
I mean, What a title for a song. I mean, it's just not really anything of note to say. It's all right. It's just one of them. I don't know. No, you have songs on this album that stand out, and then I think songs on this album not too keen on.
Well, I like the song. I mean, it's probably because it's a little heavier than their normal stuff, right? It's a little faster. It's kind of punky, I guess, in a way or whatever. And this song was actually targeted by the PMRC. You know about the PMRC, right? You probably
No,
heard
I
about
don't.
them.
No, fill me in, fill me
Okay,
in.
well, this has happened in the 80s. It was the Parents Against,
Oh,
I
yes,
don't remember
no.
the thing,
Yep,
but you know,
I've got you,
Dee Snider
yes.
spoke at it and all that stuff. So
Yep.
this is one of the songs that they wanted warning labels placed on albums. I don't really, it's just, I mean, it's a bad word, I guess, or it was a bad word. But it said, Mick Mars said the song wasn't a call to violence, which I guess is what they thought. It was about a person that they worked with once that they felt stabbed him in the back. So I guess they were saying he was a bastard. But anyway, but yes, I'm sure there's other songs to, but that PMRC stuff, I've talked about that on this podcast many times because we've had a bunch of groups, Merciful Fate, Venom, whatever, Judas Priest, whatever, everybody's had something to do with it. But of course, again, they just helped make the bands more famous when they did that, the PMRC. So I don't know.
Yeah, it just really it made it like a household thing.
Yeah. So burning their albums just made kids think, oh, I better go buy this. Must be good.
Yeah, I mean, if you stop people from doing something, they're going to do it anyway.
Yes,
That's
right.
just the fact of it, yeah.
And then they complain about stuff, and then the next song is called God Bless, but it is say God Bless the Children of the Beast, which is just an instrumental. Do you have anything to say about the instrumental here?
I think instrumental songs can either go one way or another. I think they're either really good and they're really or they're just shocking. I don't mind it. Again, I'm quite neutral on instrumentals. I don't have much. It doesn't do anything like for me. I like my vocals, but I can see why people would like it. I can see if people would like it.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with the
No.
playing on it. It's cool, but it could have been like instead of the spoken word thing, they could have played that before Shout at the Devil or whatever. That could have been the intro to the album, or I guess it could have been the outro of the album, like you kind of mentioned before too.
I
But
mean,
yeah, nothing.
I don't want to compare Motley Crue to Metallica because that's just apples and oranges to me. But I mean, Metallica instrumentals are just a different ballpark, really, to Motley Crue.
Well, they don't. This is just this God Bless is a short one, too, right? So, but yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. But some people probably, I'm sure people don't pick that out to listen to it if they're on Spotify or whatever, Apple or whatever, listening to it. So then we got the Beatles cover, and it's maybe kind of an odd spot to put a cover song in the middle of the album. But anyway, five, we got Helter Skelter. So, what do you think of their version
I
of it?
like it. I like it. I like it actually better, to be honest. I've heard people say they don't like it, and I've thought, well, I mean, if anyone's gonna make a Beatles song like into like rocky metal, I mean, Motley Crue had a good shot in it, and I think it carried out well.
Let's see. Yes, and that's Helter Skelter is a 1968 song by the Beatles. And of course, the song is about Charles Manson. But it said Tommy, or sorry, Nikki Sixx, it says he was not a Beatles fan, referring to the band as effing wimpy. But he says he liked the White Album by the Beatles and Helter Skelter song. And I used to listen to the Beatles before I got into heavy metal back then. And I did like the song and I didn't mind Motley Crue's version. I also like Motley Crue's version of Smoking in the Boys' Room that they did on, I'm
Yes,
not sure if it was
yes.
the next album or the one after that, but
I
that was
think that
good. But
is Theatre of Pain, if I'm right.
I
Yes.
think so. But again, I don't know. Usually bands they'll put the cover song at the end, so it's kind of strange to throw it in the middle, but I guess it doesn't really matter.
That
But
is weird, actually. I never actually realized it was in the middle, but that is strange. That is very
yeah,
strange.
I believe it's the first last song on the first side of the album if you're going back to the vinyl
Yeah.
days I did or whatever. But yeah, it's Well, because they make it more rocking than the Beatles. I mean, the Beatles version was kind of, that was probably one of their heaviest rocking songs for the Beatles was Helter Skelter. You know, they were more of a Hey Jude and Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band kind of band, whatever. So they weren't really into the hard rock songs. But anyway, so then we flip the album over if we're talking about me and we go to the song Red Hot. And what do you think of this one?
Red, which you'll have to refresh your memory. Which one is Red Hot? How does it go? You'll have to
Red
refresh
Hot's
me.
is a short one. It's like fast and kind of Take Me to the Top or Red Hot.
I might have not. I don't know whether I've heard this one. I might have
Like
skipped
this
this
song.
one.
I think it might be on my top 10 list, but anyway.
Top 10. Oh, I have to. No, you're making me feel bad. I'll have to have a look. Because I honestly. The there is some, you know, when you see a short song on an album and you think, So you'll have to excuse me for that one.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. And because we can't like them all. And they're not, and if you didn't have a chance to like listen to it, right? Because I actually listened to this a couple hours ago
Haven't
again,
listened to this today.
just to get my top 10 song thing going, thinking, well, I like this one. I think it's on my top 10. I forget. We'll figure that out when we get there. But yeah, it's just a fast, short song, but I like it. And it's again, it's kind of heavier. And then we go into Too Young to Fall in Love. This was, I think, the second single from the album, which they also had a video of. What do you think of this one?
I think they chose the right singles, I think, for the album. Yeah, again, this is one I'll probably put on my Instagram stories when I post a photo. It's good. Yeah, amazing. I mean, there's a few little bits in it that I like to put. If I put like a story on or a post or something, I'm like, this is the Motley Crue song that I'll probably normally choose. It's good, and it's just there are parts in it as well that like there's multiple parts I can pick from as well. There's not just like one bit that I like, which is it's always good if you want to post a song with anything.
And yes, and I didn't write this down, but and I, if I remember correctly, watching the video, there was some Asian girls in there or something like that, I think, in the video. I guess there's nothing. I can't even remember exactly what's happened in the video. I don't know. Something about, yeah, there's Asian Tommy Lee. Oh yeah, he tries some Asian cuisine and then he throws it, I think, at somebody or something. I don't know. I'm sure the video isn't
They've
too.
got some very, very crazy videos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're just having fun in the videos. But anyway,
I
it's
think
not
it's
really
just.
it's not one of my favorite songs, probably because usually going back to the 80s and hair metal, I didn't like the singles just because I like the heavier kind of songs better. Like the next one, because I like the next one better. This might be my favorite one on the album, Knock 'Em Dead Kid. Do you like Knock 'Em Dead Kid?
Yeah, it didn't. I tell you what, though, it hasn't made my ranking today because I think it's just hard. It's hard to rank them all because there's so many.
Yeah.
Like, they've had some very solid albums. I just, yeah, again, it's an all-rounder album, really. You've got your cover, you've got your heavier songs, but then you've got your more like mainstream, like the ones like like Too Fast to Fall in Love, Too whatever. It's just very all round. You've got your heavy stuff, and I think, yeah, again, like you said, I think you'd like because you like the heavier ones.
Yes, that's why I like this one because it's probably the heaviest one on it. And according to Wikipedia, anyway, so the song is inspired by a violent encounter between Nikki Sixx and a group of Hell's Angels.
Wow.
He wound up in a fight with a group of bikers, even hitting one in the face with a chain he had been wearing as a belt. But the Hell's Angels turned out to be undercover cops, and
Oh
he was beaten and jailed, and he had a black eye and a broken cheekbone. And after he was released from jail, he was inspired to write a song about it. So I guess,
it
I don't
sounds
know,
like the
Knock 'Em
start of
Dead Kid, I guess. I'm not sure
a
what
like a
that's
badly
referring to
written
him or referring to
comedy.
the cops. I'm not sure. But yes, it's a good song, and it's one of the heavier ones on it. Then we go to 10 Seconds to Love. I'm not sure exactly what 10 Seconds to Love means, but what do you like about
I
this
think it
song?
must be a comment on maybe one of the members' abilities. Yeah, again, it's the rock star. What is it? Their abilities and showing off their prowess with women again, which is the theme of most of these albums.
Yes. And so I don't know which band member would be, whatever. We won't get
I mean, with
into
how Tommy Lee acts, you'd think it was him. Every
that.
time I open up my Instagram and I just there's been times of this. I think it might have been this year. I open my Instagram and there's just a picture of him with nothing on my and I'm like, oh, that's Tommy Lee. He just posts it proudly. It's he's very happy with himself, it seems.
And yes, of course, the songs about sex. It kind of had a lot of songs, I think, later on about sex or love or whatever you want to call it. And then the album ends with Danger, which is, I guess, it's kind of a ballad, or it's the closest to a ballad on this album anyway. So do you like Danger?
I don't think it was what they should have ended it with, personally. I think you end on a high note. On an album, you want to end with something that makes people think, I want to listen to this all the way, like, with records, I want to listen to this all again just to get to that, that song at the end. I don't think that's one of them you want to re-listen to the whole album just to get to that. I don't think it's not worth it.
Yeah, it's an okay song, but I'm not much of a ballad guy like I used to
Yeah,
be.
like we said earlier, I don't think it's Home Sweet Home was the only really like ballady one that I could
Yeah.
appreciate. Maybe if they popped, I don't know, well they if they just put a song at the end that maybe had a bit of a kick to it, like but other than that, I don't think it's really mentionable for
Well, to me, it would make sense more to me to put Helter Skelter as the last song because it's a
yeah, which
cover song.
yeah, which
Because
yeah,
that's
no.
usually what groups do if they do a cover song on an album. Usually it is the last song, I think.
If
So.
we're going on, say, side A and side B, I'm asking you questions now, which would you say was the better side?
I would say, I think side, I don't know. I guess I if I had to pick A or B, I would pick B just because Knock 'Em Dead Kids on
I'd probably pick A, but because of the same, like just the one songs.
it.
But then I always think that's an interesting question. If you had to choose, you can only listen to like one side. Yeah, no, I like that question because it's like, which song do you really like?
It's kind of a like it's not like it is a classic album and it influenced probably so much, of course. But like I said, I would like the first album better than this one, just probably because it's more raw or whatever. And again, it's what I listen to first. Like, when if bands like say Metallica, if somebody listened to the Black Album first, they might like that one. Where me, I listened to Kill 'Em All first, of course, and so I don't really
Yeah.
like the Black Album because I've already heard four heavier albums on the Black Album. But it depends where you hear a band too, right? And you said, oh wait, we usually rate them out of 10. Can you do that? I know you're not a rate album reviewer, but what would you rate this out of 10?
Oh, I'm honestly, my ratings from 0 to 10 are quite bad. Like 1 to 10 are quite bad because it's either I really like it and it's 10 or I hate it and it's 1. So I think going off, I mean, well, what I've got on my rankings like from this album, I think you'll probably see. But ranking wise, I mean, I'll give an overall. I'll give an overall. I'd say probably 8.5. I think
That's good.
there's some, that don't quite hit the mark, but it doesn't affect the whole quality of the album. It's normally just like a couple of songs you think, oh, not bad, I'll skip them. But other than that, I think it's a solid, it's put together well. Yeah, 8.5.
Yeah, and if I was to rate it, I'd probably give it an 8 myself. Like, just because I still go back and listen to this album sometimes, like, because I'm still going back to my 80s stuff, but. Again, like I said before, the only two Motley Crue albums I'll go back to listen to are the first two. I don't, and like, Kickstart My Heart, I'm not going to delete that if it's coming on or whatever, but I just
No.
never go back to the other albums, like the Girls, Girls, Girls album or whatever. It would only be if I see the videos. Now, we already meant, because he usually asks about seeing them live, but we already talked about that. That was the only time you said you've seen them live was last
Yes,
year.
yeah. Which
And I've
I'd just
never.
like to say, again, was a very weird experience. Because when you like look at a band as like this, they don't exist until you see them really. They don't exist as real
Yes.
people. And then you see them as I mean, obviously I've seen them as they're older. And I think the mistake is of maybe going on a farewell tour and then coming back I think is also something that I think a lot of fans need to stop doing, because they leave on a high, this is it, we're done, and then they come back and it's like you sh there was no it looks like you've just come back just to pay a few bills, and there's not the heart and the passion there was
Yeah.
in the previous tours. I mean,
And
to be fair, it's I mean Kiss, when they did I think it was their last UK festival that I saw, that ended on a good note, but they always come back. I mean, they always come out of the woodwork, and yeah, maybe they need to stop doing that.
yes, I don't really like Slayer is also supposedly did a farewell tour, but now
And
supposedly
then they came
they're
back.
coming back
Yep.
or have come back. I'm not sure, but
I
yeah.
think they did a couple shows, I think,
Well,
or
have they?
they
I wasn't
arranged to
sure
do a
if they
couple
happened
shows.
yet or not. So.
Yeah, I can remember seeing it, and everyone was really excited, and I was like, I thought they had finished. I went to, I think it was one of the first, it was the first Download Festival I went to. They played on the Sunday. I wasn't there on the Sunday, but I think that was the last ever show they were doing in the UK. And everyone was like, oh, we need to go see this, we need to go see this, we need to go see this. And then it's come to it, and I'm like, well, if I like hear that someone's doing like a farewell tour, I'm never really necessarily going to think that they are. They're not gone. No.
Well, I don't, I think at least with, because I just saw something about Iron Maiden on, I don't think Iron Maiden would do that. They seem like they're
They
legitimate.
do. I mean, I
They
saw
haven't really
recently, very,
stopped, so.
very sadly, actually, I saw the drummer had, I think it was the drummer had retired. Yeah.
Yes, that's what I
And
was
that
watching actually. That, yeah.
they're playing, I believe, in the UK next June. I don't know who the replacement drummer is yet. I haven't
Well,
seen.
according, I just watched a little video of Bruce on stage in Brazil there with Iron Maiden talking about it. And he said he's quitting playing live, but he's not quitting Iron Maiden. So I guess if they make another studio album, he might be the drummer. I'm not sure. Maybe that's
Which
not what he
is
meant.
good. I think people take like retiring of the band. I mean, I think when I was reading up about Motley Crue, actually, I thought I saw that Tommy Lee left for about 5 years, maybe.
Oh,
I think I
really?
saw that, and he had two replacement drummers, and then Mick left, and then John Five came along, who I saw. And I think it said that the only member that actually stayed the whole time, I think, was Vince, I believe. It might have been, or even, I think it might have been, because he came along later. Oh no, he left as well. It was Nikki Sixx, I think.
Nikki, yeah.
Yeah, no, because he left, and there was a, I can't remember his name, but they had another vocalist.
Oh yeah, I forget his names offhand too. And Vince Neil went and did a couple, or at least one solo album, I think. So, at
Did he?
least
No,
one,
I've not
yes.
heard it, so
Well,
it must not
I
be.
think I liked one of the songs. I can't remember. I didn't make a note of this here, but you can look it up, I guess. But I think I did like one of the songs on his first solo album, but again, I don't remember what year it was or anything like that. But I didn't mind the song, but I don't think I ever listened to the whole album, I don't think. And I never seen them live, I don't believe anyway, because I liked them. But I guess back then, I probably didn't go to many concerts yet, then, but because it was 1984 till I started going to concerts, just because I live far away from a concert place.
It must be hard, because when I see tours, they're never in Canada. I don't think I've ever seen a tour that's like, we're going to Canada. It's normally either
Well,
we're doing a
they come to Canada,
UK.
but they usually just say we're going to North America, right? Or the United States.
Yeah.
And then they don't come up to Canada, but everybody plays here pretty much. I mean, some groups don't come here much. Like Helloween was here last year or 2 years ago. They don't come to Canada very often, especially now since COVID thing happened and everything.
Yeah, that made it. I
Less
can remember I
bands
used when I
coming,
went to
but
Bloodstock, I think I had to do a test beforehand or
a
something to
test.
actually get into the festival. It made it a lot harder though, because have you noticed that tickets are just expensive now?
Yes.
The I'm seeing I think I'm seeing Parkway Drive next year, Amity Affliction and Slaughter to Prevail, I believe. And for that was actually like for a good lineup. I think it was 70 each, which wasn't awful. But I actually saw Stevie Nicks at Hyde Park, I am like, I do like my Fleetwood Mac. I
Yes,
can
that's
appreciate Fleetwood Mac. And that was, I think, £150 a ticket to see Stevie Nicks at a massive, in a massive field, cramped, and I didn't know any of the supporting acts, so that was fun to say the least. It was worth it though. She's doing well. She's very, very good.
That's good. The first concert I went to was Iron Maiden in 1984, and it was like $20 for the
Wow.
ticket, $20 Canadian, which is probably,
Like
I'm not
15
sure,
pound here or
40,
something.
maybe, yeah, maybe four. I think, I forget if your money is more money or less, because
How was it?
American
Did you
money is
say
more money.
15? 15, 20. Sorry, did you say
Yeah.
20? Yeah. 20 like dollars is probably about like 15, 16, maybe
Yes,
17.
I think
Like it's
so.
less. It's a few less.
Yes, so but that was very cheap, of course, back
Oh,
then.
definitely. Yeah. I mean, I would have loved to see Iron Maiden for £15.
That was with Twisted Sister was the opener that
Oh,
year.
wow.
think I've seen Iron Maiden and Metallica about 10 times each, I think,
10
something like
times
that.
each. Yeah, that's a privilege, definitely.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, so I'll just mention, I already said that about the singles. Oh, it looks like Kill made it to number 54. Too Young to Fall in Love made it to number 90. That's on the Billboard charts there in the United States. And Shout at the Devil peaked at number 30. Let's see. Oh, and there's one comment. Who's this comment by, I'm not sure who, oh, it's Nikki Sixx says, when a band like us put out Shout at the Devil in 2000, oh, he observed this in 2000. And the label does zero marketing, zero publicity, and zero advertisements. And you sell 5 million records, and everybody starts patting themselves on the back. But it's Motley Crue that did that, not Elektra Records.
Oh.
Made sure of this, that they thought that. But anyway, okay. So that's it for them. I don't think we need to add anything else. We're going to do our top 10 Motley Crue songs. I don't know. Did you put yours in order, or did you still have your 10 favorite songs?
I am, yeah, mine are in order, which was
Okay.
hard. It was very hard. I
Mine are
don't
in
know
order too. So I'll do
whether,
mine first, and then I'll
yeah,
let you.
definitely. Yeah, and then we can compare. Yeah.
Okay. So my number 10 is actually Home Sweet Home, because I don't mind it.
Close
And
to
like I
mine,
said,
actually. Yeah.
it's
Yeah,
from the
close to where I
movie.
put it.
So now, most of my songs are from the first two albums. So
Okay.
you might have a more wide variety than I do. So my number 9 is Come On and Dance, which is from Too Fast for Love album, as is Merry Go Round, my number 8, and that's kind of a ballad too, and even though I said the title is kind of cheesy, Merry Go Round, but I like Vince's vocals on that. It was kind of weird and stuff. It's okay. My number 7 is Red Hot, so you better listen to Red Hot after
I
this.
will, yeah.
Refresh your memory. My number 6 is Piece of Your Action, which is from Too Fast for Love. My number
A lot
5
of Too
is,
Fast for Love.
yes, that's what, yeah, that's what the first album called. Yes, right. And that was, what did I just say? Piece, yes. Number 5 was Knock 'Em Dead Kid from this one. Number 4, I Shouted the Devil, even though I don't know why I put that above Knock 'Em Dead Kid. I probably should have put it reverse, but whatever. My number 3 is Too Fast for Love from, of course, Too Fast for Love. And my number 2 is actually Kickstart My Heart.
Yeah,
And my
good
number
place.
1 is Livewire, which is probably the
Live.
first Motley Crue song I heard, because I probably bought the album and started listening to it. And I like that song, and I still like that song.
I'm excited to see how ours compare now, actually. I am quite excited for this.
Okay, let's hear yours.
So at 10, I put Helter Skelter. I just think it was new, it was refreshing. I liked it. Home Sweet Home at 9. It's a good song, but it wasn't really like Motley Motley. So I kind of just popped it at 9. I appreciate it. It's decent. Dr. Feelgood, at 8. I like the high. I think it gets me going. It's good. Shout, right. I had a hard time at 7 and 6. I could not choose where to put Wildside or Shout at the Devil. So I've just popped them in a kind of group, either 7 or 6, depending on my
Okay.
day. Girls, girls, girls at 5. And then Kickstart My Heart at number 4. Looks That Kill at 3. Livewire at 2. So close, very close. And
Close.
then Take Me to the Top at number 1.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think that's the one that I listened to, and I thought I'd probably listen to this for the next how many years of my life and just not get bored.
Yeah, and I like Dr. Feelgood too. I thought about having that on my list too. And I like Smoking in the Boys Room probably better than Helter Skelter, maybe because I like the original song better.
Yeah,
And so I
yeah.
like that one too. But yes, that's good.
It's probably like a roundabout way, but I actually listened to the Motley Crue version of it before the Beatles version. So maybe I didn't appreciate the Beatles version as much as you
Actually,
did.
I can't, and even though I did say I listened to the Beat, I don't know, I probably listened to Helter Skelter by the Beatles more after I heard Motley Crue do it than because then I wanted to hear what they did. Like, because I'm not sure what, because Beatles, I would only had my, I have two older brothers, so they had some Beatles albums, so I would only listen to what they had. So I can't really remember. I just remember hearing it. But again, I might have listened to it more after I heard Motley Crue's version. And Smoking in the Boys Room, I only heard the original, which I'm not going to mention the group because I can't remember the name. But anyway, I heard that on the radio all the time before Motley Crue, of course, covered it. But I thought Motley Crue was a fun version of it. And it was good. Okay, do you have anything to add about Motley Crue?
No, I think we've done a really good job, I think, of going through that album. I'm happy. Yeah, I think, yeah, all good.
That was good. I forgot to mention something earlier. I never asked you, but where can people find you online if they want to find you?
So currently it's Instagram. It is Scarlet S1906. I basically do fashion, metal fashion, festivals, music. Lots of band tees. I think I've got a collection of about 70 now, which is a bit troubling trying to find space for them all. And I buy like five probably a month. It's just growing. So basically, I do some Q&A sometimes where people just ask me questions about music. And yeah, I just love talking about it and hearing other people's opinions because people can think completely different to you about songs. Then you get to argue it out.
Yes. Well, you've been a great guest. And so, yes, people should find you on Instagram. Are you on Facebook or no? You're just on Instagram?
No, I'm not. I
Okay.
never really got into it, but I actually might need to create one.
Yeah, well, Instagram is, I think, more popular anyway, especially with. And yeah, and you pose sometimes you're wearing Iron Maiden shirts, Metallica shirts, Motorhead, whatever,
Oh
Motley
yeah,
Crue.
everything. Yeah.
Slipknot, I've seen. So
I mean,
yes.
a lot of the time it is Metallica, Iron Maiden, but I've got Def Leppard, absolutely loads, too many to count.
So yeah, definitely looks Scarlett up on Instagram. It's worth it to see. And as we see, she's very knowledgeable of music too, which is good. So thanks, Scarlett, for joining me.
It's no worries. Thank you for having me. It's been absolutely lovely.
Thank you. And let's see. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we will talk to you again next week.